Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We have gone through most of the chapter. We had four verses left here, 27 through 30, and at the beginning I wrote down 27 through 30. That's what I was going to cover, and that's not going to happen. But we will get through 27 today, hopefully. So we're in verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. It was too good. I mean, it was just good. It's just really neat stuff. Verse 27. So I ended up with a lot of notes on that. So we're in verse 27 today. Only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I pray that you would touch us with the truth of this morning, that you would help us to recognize what it means to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Lord God, I pray, Father, that you would teach us from your word, you would show us who you are. Because, Father, it's not so much you showing us what to do, it's showing us who you are. And because we know who you are, then what we do is just a natural reflection of that. So, Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us through your word, through the truth of your word today, thereby changing our life, thereby helping us to live according to your will, thereby showing us that what you said, that we are created for good works. Father, showing us that it's not that we're trying to gain points with you. It's not that we're trying to be better than anyone else. It's simply a natural reflection of who we are. Because you have made us that. You have worked in our life. You have given us of your spirit. You, Lord God, have led us, guided us. And in spite of all the sin, in spite of all the problems, in spite of all the issues where we've gone against you, against your will, Lord God, you put it back together. You keep guiding us. You keep leading us. I pray, Father, that our lives would reflect that, would reflect the knowledge of the Lord Jesus that we have. Father, thank you so much for giving us the Lord Jesus. We love you, honor, and worship your name. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You know, Paul, as he has written this book, he's written it to a group of Christians, a church, in a specific city. Philippi was the first town he went to in Macedonia. He went over to be a missionary there into Greece, but he was at Philippi and started a church. And that church has been very special to Paul. And that's why he wrote this book. That church has been very touching to Paul. And Paul here expresses his thankfulness. He says, now look, I'm not convinced that you will do it. I'm convinced that God will work through you. He says that in verse 6. He says it's because of God. God working through him. That's who he's convinced with. And then he goes on and talks about how thankful he is. But he prays for them. And when he prays for them, he prays that love will abound and flow through them. But keep in the parameters of God's truth, of his word, and also of the discernment of how to live before others, to show that love, to show the true love that God has put in them, and how to interact with each other. He goes on, and he talked about the fact that the gospel is being spread because of where he is. And so he's fine with being in prison. He's in prison right now. He's in Rome. He's waiting for a trial. You wouldn't think that would be a great spot to be. And yet he's okay with that, knowing that there are people preaching the gospel, even those with the wrong motives, Even those who are trying to make him feel bad because he's in prison. Yet he says, look, the gospel's being preached. It's great. And then he goes on with to his heart motive, what the key, I think one of the key verses in this book shows his heart motive. He says, to live Christ, to die, that's profit, that's gain, that's just icing on the cake. And he goes on and says, look, this is the choice. And so last week what we looked at was the hard choice and the easy choice. The hard choice because he desires so much to be with Christ, to be with God in heaven. He desires to be there after death. He wants to be there. And yet to stay here was an act of service towards these folks. He says, look, I don't know which to choose. So it's a hard choice. But then he comes up with the easy choice. Says, you know what? It's not really my choice. I'm alive. God has still left me alive. Therefore, I know I'm just going to be serving you. I'm just going to be serving others. I'm going to be encouraging you. Here to bear fruit. I'll be bearing fruit for God in you. So it's that easy choice, knowing that it is God working them. So the choice, really, his choice, really, is to rejoice in every situation. To rejoice or to grieve, and he chooses to rejoice. Living is service. It's service. Not choosing, it's service. So what we're going to be looking at today is living for the gospel. Living for the gospel in verse 27. Now right here in verse 27, he kind of makes a shift. Because up to this point, he's been encouraging them, he's been thankful for them, and he'll keep encouraging them. Because remember, the theme of this book is joy. So he'll keep that encouragement up. But up to this point, he's thankful for them, he's praying for them. But now he's going to start dealing with some of the issues of this church. Now he doesn't come out, well, he's dealing with general issues at this point. We get to the end of the book and he'll deal with some specific issues. But he's dealing with general issues. And these general issues, I think, can be involved in every church situation, in any church situation. Because they involved people. I was talking to, I don't know who it was one time, and said, you know, working at church is, it's just so much fun working with, except for the people. What is working at church? You know, it's with people, right? Because the problem is people. We as people, we have personalities. We have preferences. We have issues. We have stuff going on. And most of the time, we see our stuff. It's hard for us to really feel and see everybody else's stuff because we're dealing with us. We're dealing with our stuff, our junk. And yet, what Paul says here is, look, I'd rather be in heaven, yes. But if I'm going to be here, if God still has me alive, I'm here to serve. I'm here to bear fruit with you. I'm here to be of service in your life, to encourage you, to grow you. I'm here because God still has a purpose for you to grow. And so because of that, he says, I'm convinced I'm going to see you again. I'm probably going to do that. But he doesn't demand that of God. And we'll see that even in this verse today. But he's making a little bit of a shift here because now he's saying, now look, there's some issues that you need to deal with, that you need to think about as you're living through your Christian life. He says in verse 27, what we're looking at is to live worthy lives. Live worthy lives. So it's instead of just praying for them and encouraging them, now he's saying, now look, pour it out. Let's deal with some of this. Let's live it out. He says in verse 27, only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now where it says only, that word only, that refers back to what he has just talked about. It refers back to the fact that Paul's convinced that he's living to serve them. That the reason he's alive is to serve them, to encourage them. But whether it's true or not, and we'll see this as we get into this, because he says, the next thing he says is so that whether I come and see you or remain absent. So he doesn't demand that God sends him there. He says, you know, it may happen. I think it's going to happen. I'm convinced I'm probably going to see you again. But whether I do or I don't, only this, only conduct yourself this way. Okay? So that's why he put that only in there. You might say, well, that's a silly way to start a sentence. No, he's encompassing everything he's talked about. Only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Conduct. Now, we look at conduct yourself and we say, oh, that just means live it, right? That just means live. Well, there are two words in the original language. This is fun. Oh, I love digging into this. This is fun. I've been wanting to share this all week. There's two words. One of them is anastereotha, something like that. Anyway, I can speak Greek to you because you don't understand it, you know? You think it's right. So as there's nobody, she knows. All right, but that word literally means how you live. All right, so it's just in general how you live. In fact, Kenneth Wiest, he's a real Greek guy, but anyway, he wrote a Greek grammar on this. He says Paul uses a specialized word here, which is directly connected with the city of Philippi and its citizens. The word that I just gave you, anastereotho, speaks of one's manner of life considered as such. Now, that's the word that is normally used in Scripture. But he didn't use that word here. The word Paul uses in Philippians speaks of one's manner of life seen as a duty to a body or group of which one is a member. And to the head of that group to whom he is responsible is a more inclusive word. So this word that he uses, it speaks more of a duty to a body or a group and to the head of that group. So what he's talking about here specifically is the fact that they are naming the name of Christ, that they are saying, look, I'm a follower of Christ. He says, now, all right, now take that duty, that body of that you're belonging to, and this is the duty of it. This is the response of belonging to that group and belonging to Christ. And you know what's fun about that? The word itself is, I got to get this right, Politu omaya. What's that sound like? Politics. It's where we get our word politics from, right? So you say, well, wait, what's politics have to do with? Well, think about the political group. Have you ever seen a political group divide somebody? Ever in your life? All right? I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I'm independent. I'm smarter than anybody. All right? So I'm a libertarian or whatever it is. All right? Because what? Because we have this certain set of ideals that we agree with or that we believe in, that we hold to, the certain set. And it may be because of how you were raised. It may be because of your ideal. Whatever it is because of, there's a fierce loyalty to it. And that fierce loyalty drives people to live a certain way. Guess what? We're talking about Christians here. He's talking to a church in Philippi, and specifically this word was meant as political in a good way to the town of Philippi. Because Philippi was a Roman colony. And so one of the goals in Philippi, and this was a huge goal. This wasn't like, I just want to be a nice person. No. To be living in Philippi meant that you were a Roman citizen. You got Roman citizen status. To have Roman citizen status, you couldn't be beat. Remember Paul, when he was just about to be beat by the Roman guards? He said, hey, you're going to beat a Roman citizen? And they could have been disciplined harshly for that. All right? So to be a Roman citizen was fabulous in that day. And here, all they needed to do was be part of Philippi. So it was a huge thing to want to be a good citizen of Philippi, to want to be part of, to live out who you were as a citizen of Philippi. And that's basically what he's talking about. He's striving to be a good citizen of Philippi so they wouldn't be removed from that Roman colony, so they would have Roman status. All right, so that's the mindset that he's talking about. He's saying, look, as part of that group, while he's not talking about being a citizen of Philippi, he's talking about being a citizen of heaven. He's talking about those who have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, those who are saved. He's saying, look, you are naming the name of Christ. You are, your actions, your life, everything shows that. He's saying, so conduct yourself, so politicize yourself. Right? You can put that. Politicize. Be a part of this political party. Be so impassioned about this. Politicize yourself in Christ. Live that out. He says, conduct yourself how? In a manner worthy. And the words manner worthy literally means comparable to or worthy of value. The same value. The same value as what? The gospel of Christ. So what is the value of the gospel of Christ? Oh man, we could get into that one, couldn't we? And we will a little bit. But how do we do that? How do you live in a manner comparable with the gospel of Christ? Because what is the gospel of Christ? What is it? What is the gospel? Gospel means what? Good news, right? That's literally what euangelion, gospel, the word in the Greek means good news, great news. So you have this great news of Jesus. What is the good news of Jesus Christ? Man could never gain heaven. Man could never sit before God, stand before God. Man could never be a part of God's kingdom. Because of what? Sin. Because we are born into sin. Because we have no inheritance with God. Man could not be a part of heaven. But God loved for God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. This is the good news. That God sent Jesus Christ. So this is a huge good news. It's good news for the whole world. Now, that massive good news, he says, conduct yourself, politicize yourself with that group in a manner worthy of that good news. In a manner worthy of that good news. Guess what that is? It's how we live. You know, Chris and I were talking this week several times. I don't know how, just a couple of times it came up. But about what I have termed dangerous grace. And you look at, you say, well, how can grace be dangerous? Grace becomes dangerous when you mix it with man. Just like the law is perfect. But the Bible says when you mix it with the flesh, there's a problem. There's a huge problem. Well, grace, when you mix it with the flesh, guess what? There's a huge problem. Because God's grace, and God's grace, he absolutely loves us and he gives us salvation. And so what do? We say, well, we've got salvation. We can just go live however we want. We can sin all we want. We can just do whatever we want. Because then I can just do whatever my flesh desires. And you know what? That is not the purpose of God's grace. It has never been the purpose of God's grace. So he says, look, conduct yourself in what? A manner worthy of God's grace. Because what is the gospel of Christ? God's grace. How God saved us. He graced us. It says, conduct yourself. Live that out. To live by living a dependent life on Christ. By practicing what Paul has just talked about. What has he just talked about? To live, Christ. To die, profit, gain. Wonderful. The desire to be with Christ, but since we're alive, to serve him. So how great is that gospel? It's amazing. He says, now live in a manner comparable to that. Live that out. Be associated with that so much so that others see that you're associated with that. This is our standing obligation to him. This is our standing obligation to live for him in truth and in the truth of the word. And he says, Paul says here, says, so that whether I come or and see you or remain absent. So even if I don't get out of prison, even if I die here, even if I remain absent, I'm convinced I'm coming to see you. I'm convinced you're going to praise God because of that. But even if that doesn't happen, he says, live that out. Live that out. Whether I come or whether I stay. He knows he's still alive for a purpose, but he also didn't know. You know, one of the things that he's not, I mean, he didn't know this, I believe, at the time. But here Paul was saying, well, you know, I'm going to bear fruit for you, and if I'm alive and if I'm dead, that's going to be a gain. But what Paul didn't understand was that you and I are reading what he wrote right now. And you and I have what he wrote in Galatians. And you and I have what he wrote in Colossians. And you and I have these things that, in other words, God was using him even in a way that he didn't understand. God was using him to write his word. He was moving in his heart to write his word. He knew that his life was still in God's hand. But you know what? We don't all understand all about even who we touch, even who we teach, even who we show Christ. We don't understand exactly who it's going to touch. Because Paul said, oh, it's going to be fruitful service for me. I'm going to uplift you, or else I'm going to be in heaven. But what he didn't say is, yeah, but I'm writing the word of God. He didn't know it. We do. We can look back at it and we say, this is fabulous. Look what we have, because Paul was in prison. He took time to write. Look at what we have, because he was still alive. It's amazing. So just think about that in your own life, because we don't understand who we're going to influence with the truth of God. We don't understand that. By our conduct, by how we live it out, by whether we are politicizing our... I say that, but I'm careful how I say that, because this is just a negative tone, doesn't it? Politicizing, you know, oh, they're just being political. Well, take it in a good way, in the good route, in the you know when somebody belongs to that group. Why? Because they want to live it out. Well, we're talking about Christ here. We're talking about Christianity. You know, if you can know when somebody belongs to that group, they're living it out in their life. That's what he's talking about here. He said, look, even if I'm not there, even if I remain absent, or if I do see you, then what do I want to do? Look what he says. I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I will hear. And that word will hear is in subjunctive mode, which means it's a possibility. I will have the possibility of hearing this. If I'm not there, I'm going to be able to hear. I want to hear this. It's possible. This can happen in your life. That you are what? That you are standing firm in one spirit. Standing firm. You remember that any other place in Scripture? Ephesians chapter 6, remember that? Take the full armor of God so that you may what? Stand firm against the wiles of the devil. Stand firm, therefore. So in a matter of a couple of verses, he says it three times. Stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. You notice he never says, go attack Satan. No, he says, stand firm. On what? On what God has already said right here. On what God has given us. The truth of God's word. Stand firm on it. Don't add to it, subtract to it. Stand firm on it. He says, standing firm how? Look what he says. That I would hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit. In one spirit. Now, are we talking about the Holy Spirit? Well, yes, in that if you have Christ in your heart, you have the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. So that's true in one sense, but I believe he's talking about the human spirit. He's talking about the depth of our spirit, because the next thing he says is one mind. So I believe he's talking about who we are in humanity. It has the a positive aspect to it and a negative. The positive is standing firm for the gospel. The negative is standing against Satan's attacks. So I think what he's talking about in the human aspect, the human spirit, is not opposing each other in the gospel of Christ. Not opposing each other, especially due to preference. All right? Because a lot of times
the struggle comes in preference. We're not talking about doctrine here. He's talking about, because when he says standing firm, he's talking about being under the same doctrinal view of Scripture. I believe he's talking about the preference things going on. But, you look at Galatians, and he has a problem with their doctrine. He tells them flat out, what is wrong with you? He says, what's wrong with you? Because of their doctrine, because they were messing up at that. Get into Hebrews, and we see the doctrinal issues going on there. So there is teaching against the doctrinal issues. And yeah, we're stand firm against them. But here we're supposed to stand firm together in one spirit. So we're talking about yes, standing on those doctrinal issues, but standing for the gospel of Christ. And what is it that divides us so often is the preference issues, the preferential issues, the color of the carpet, the way we do music, the this, the that, you know. That's oftentimes what divides. But he says, look, in the case of the gospel, I want you to stand firm. With one spirit, stand firm together with the spirit. And in fact, he goes on and he says, with one mind, with one mind. What is one mind? Well, the word mind is psuche in the original. And that word psuche literally is soul. It's translated soul very often in Scripture. So we're talking with one soul, the very inner being, the very most deep inner being of us, our soul, way down into our soul. He says not only with one spirit in your spirit, but also in your very soul, standing together and striving. Look what it says for this, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That word striving is sunafleo, sunafleo. It's two words, sun and afleo. Sun is together, and afleo is to, it's to compete in a contest. We get our word athlete from it. So see, you guys didn't think that there were athletes in politics in Scripture, did you? And there it is. That's where we get our words from it. But that word athlete means to strive. And if you get a true athlete, somebody who's a real true athlete going to the Olympics, what do? They train. They are disciplined. They get out every day and work, and they strive. They struggle. They labor for what they are after here. So literally the word means to labor alongside, to struggle with alongside. Struggle with what? Well, you need an object. The object of our work, the object of striving to be one soul, is the faith of the gospel. Look what it says. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now that word faith, what does faith mean? Well, you go to Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says the essence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. The essence of things. What do we hope for? We hope for heaven. And it's not a hope like I hope it doesn't rain. It's a hope that... It says, you know what? Unless the Lord changes something, tomorrow is going to happen. In 24 hours, it'll be tomorrow. In fact, in less than 24. Right? Why? And I know that. And I absolutely know that's going to be true. Well, what we hope for is heaven. What we hope for is what God promised. And what God promises is absolutely true. So it's the essence of that. But it's the evidence. The evidence of things not seen. So what I haven't seen is heaven. What I haven't seen, the face of God, I know I can take that to a court. That evidence means to take it to court. You can take that to court because you know it's absolutely true. The faith of what? The faith of, verse 27, the faith of the gospel. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So folks, what he is after, what Paul is saying here, is look, you know what my heart motivation is now, to live Christ, to die gain, but I'm going to live on, because I am living on, so it's going to be for service. But take that and conduct, be a part of who you are. Be a part of who you are. How many calls have you had in politics so far? I mean, I keep getting them. I keep getting and mail. You haven't got any of that mail yet. And this is an off. Well, it's not an off year, but it's not the main year. It's not even a general, you know, election. This is the 2-year deal, and we get loads of mail, and we get calls, and I get texts. I got, I think, 2 texts just yesterday. Get out and vote. Why? Because they want you to get involved. Get involved. Get involved with it. I kind of look at that as what Paul's doing. Saying, look, if you really believe in this, then get involved with it. If you really believe in this, get involved with it. He's not talking about being a party, a political party. He's talking about who we are in Christ. He's saying, look, if you believe like I do, I'm in prison, but I'm still getting involved in this. You're out free, but you can still get involved with this. Get involved by what? Conducting yourself, being a part of, in a worthy manner to the gospel of Christ, in a worthy manner, in a manner that's comparable to how God loved us, we are to love others. Let's put it that way. Comparable from how God loved us to we are to love others. Why? So that they will love God. See how that goes around? God loved us, we are to love others so that they will love him. Why? Because we were created for good works so that they may see our good works and what? Glorify our Father. In other words, it starts with God and it ends with God. And that's praise. And that's worship. And that is conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Standing firm on that gospel. Having one spirit in that gospel. Having one soul in that gospel. In the faith of the gospel. Believing in the truth of the gospel. That changes our life. You realize that? You have that. That changes your life. It's not in a negative way, it's in a positive way. Our conduct, our citizenship, our political, patriotic spirit towards who we are in Christ Jesus, lived out as part of a community of believers, all because of the gospel. Our standing firm together as a body of believers for the gospel. Our soul striving together is for the or because of the gospel of Christ. So Paul's already expressed his heart. His heart motivation to live Christ, to die again. Paul was joyful in his life would mean service and fruit. And he was joyful that he'll be home someday. But the one overriding theme in all of this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have not experienced the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would love to show you today how you can have a relationship with God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did Paul say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is what? The power of God to salvation to all who believes. I'm not ashamed of that gospel, Paul says, even though Paul was in prison because of it. He says, I'm not ashamed of it. That's the power of God. So if the gospel, the good news of Christ is the power of God, and we are a community of the gospel of Christ, then our lives should reflect that. So that others can see our good works and glorify our Father. You see how he's going from thank God for you, praise God for you, I'm praying for you, to all right, now let's get down to the nitty gritty. There are issues here that you're not living this out. I want to hear about it. I want you standing firm. I want you standing together as a body, to live out who you really are. Because you are part of this group. If you have never entrusted your life to Jesus Christ, I would invite you today. Accept the salvation that he offers. If you have, how do we live out that gospel? How do we do it? As a Christian, how do we do it? We recognize who we are sold out to, number one. The fact that we are growing in our relationship with Christ, we need to do that. To grow in that relationship. To know him more each day. To trust him in every situation. Knowing we are still alive here because he has a plan for us. That's why we're still alive. That's why we're not in heaven yet. Paul wanted to be there really bad. But But he knew that if God allowed him to live, he would still be serving. Knowing that we will gain if we go home. Living in a dependent way. And you know what the key to it is? Trusting in your Abba. In your Daddy. Your closer than just a father. No, a Daddy. Having that type of relationship. Loving your Daddy because of who he has made you as his children. Live that out. Live that out. Because it'll all end up back as glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the admonitions of your word. Thank you for the encouragement of your word. That we, Lord God, as part of this party of believers, Lord God, as part of this body of believers, have the opportunity of showing your love to others, of drawing others to you, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful. That's the tool you use, not only to lead us to Christ, but to guide us in our life. Because, Father, whenever we're discouraged, whenever we're down, whenever we're in the wrong situations, Lord God, you can bring back to our mind the fact that you sent your Son. And that is true love. And we are to be giving of ourselves so that others might see that and look to you. May we never take glory for what you do in us. Because, Father, it belongs to you. May we remember, Lord God, what group, what body we belong to, so that we can live in a manner worthy of that, so that we can be responsible for towards each other and towards you for how we live. We can remember that instead of remembering that, well, we're forgiven, so we can do whatever we want. Lord God, may that fleshly mindset not overtake our mindset of to live Christ, to die, that's profit. We love you and honor your name. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.